Learning Lab at WEAA 88.9 FM on the campus of Morgan State University, the School of Global Journalism and Communication presents the Morgan News Hour. Welcome to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm Randy Reed.
I'm Demi Goff, co-host of the Morgan News Hour. Thanks for joining us.
The Morgan State Campus Activity Board announced cancellation of some homecoming activities on campus in compliance with the city's COVID restrictions.
Anne Arundel County Police say they have found the person of interest in yesterday's suspected shooting near a school.
The Maryland Zoo is taking extra safety precautions to protect its animals.
Morgan State homecoming may look a little different this year, according to the homecoming committee. To be in compliance with Baltimore City guidelines regarding COVID-19, we will not have the homecoming parade or Tent City. Student reporter David Lance has more.
As Morgan State students and alumni await the return of homecoming to campus, some events will not make that same return. Morgan State's homecoming committee announced that the parade and alumni Tent City area will be missing from this year's homecoming festivities. The parade generally takes place the morning of the homecoming game and showcases Morgan's magnificent marching machine, along with SGA's members of each attending class. Morgan's Campus Activity Board has continued to announce campus activities for homecoming week, which begins October 18th, the first being a party at the University Student Center patio from 12 to 3 p.m. to kick off the week. Tickets for homecoming events will begin to go on sale September 24th. I'm David Lance, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Other HBCUs, including Howard and Morehouse, have canceled homecoming events. We'll hear from our student roundtable and get their thoughts on the cancellation of some of these homecoming events.
A panel of Maryland lawmakers has approved an emergency measure to require masks for K-12 schools statewide. Tuesday's vote by a joint committee of the General Assembly puts the emergency regulation into effect for up to 180 days. The Maryland State Board of Education approved the regulation last month. Only two of Maryland's 24 jurisdictions, Carroll and Somerset counties, have not already required students to wear a mask while attending schools. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has recommended universal mask wearing for teachers and students inside school buildings.
The Maryland Department of Health updated COVID-19 numbers this morning. 1,094 new cases have been reported in the last 24 hours. 26 patients have been admitted into the hospital. 15 more people have died due to COVID-19, and the state's positivity rate is now 4.61%.
According to our campus newspaper, the spokesman, during the third week of classes, Morgan State University confirmed two students have tested positive for COVID-19. The university detected 14 positive cases on campus since the semester started on August 23rd. Morgan State administered a total of 502 tests. 393 students and 109 faculty members were tested, where two students tested positive. To read the full story, go to the spokesman.com.
The Maryland Zoo says it will vaccinate certain animals that have been proven to be susceptible to COVID-19. Senior Director of Animal Health Conservation and Research, Dr. Ellen Bronson, said Tuesday that the zoo in Baltimore hasn't had any cases of COVID-19 in its animals, but the vaccine will add another layer of protection. Bronson says the zoo expects to receive doses in the fall from the animal health company Zoitis. Animals that the zoo plans to vaccinate include the North American river otters, chimpanzees, and cat species like the cheetah and lion.
An update to a story we first told you yesterday on the Morgan News Hour. Anne Arundel County police were searching for a suspect with a gun. It was believed to be a 15-year-old boy. According to media reports, police have found the suspect, who was an 18-year-old. The suspect spoke to police about the incident and will not be charged. When the officers arrived, one of their windows was believed to be shot out from what they thought was from the suspect. The hunt for the suspect was underway, and the window shattered. The hunt for the suspect yesterday and the window shattering have now been deemed to be separate instances and are not related.
Now let's take a look at the news around the region.
A student is in police custody after he was found with a gun and drugs at school. Officials say they arrested an 18-year-old student from Reach Partnership School for bringing a loaded handgun and drugs to school. The weapon was discovered by metal detectors when the student attempted to enter the school building. No identity has been released on the student, and no charges have been announced. An investigation into the incident is ongoing. And a student at the Baybrook Elementary Middle School is facing disciplinary action. The student is accused of hitting an assistant principal at the school several times. According to a police report, the assistant principal attempted to break up a fight between students and was struck several times by a pupil. The assistant principal was taken to the hospital for treatment of a possible concussion. Officials have not announced what, if any, charges the student will face in the case as an investigation continues. And an investigation is underway into a Monday afternoon fire in the auditorium of Delaney High School. Baltimore County fire crews were dispatched to the scene around 3:15 p.m. following reports of fire in the school auditorium. Firefighters were able to quickly extinguish the flames and work to remove smoke from the building. Classes had already been dismissed for the day at the time of the blaze. There were no injuries reported. Finally, students and staff at Community College of Baltimore County can get paid to get their COVID vaccination. CCBC is offering students and employees financial incentives to get their COVID-19 vaccination and show proof of the shot. The school is offering students $100 credit to their student ID cards to use on campus. Employees are receiving a $200 incentive for proof of vaccination. The college says all employees must be fully vaccinated or undergo weekly testing by November 1st. I'm David Lance, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Now let's take a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 72. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m., sunny with a high near 90. Wednesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 2 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 69. Thursday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms all day, partly sunny with a high near 85. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 69. Friday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with a high near 81. Friday night, mostly cloudy, with a low around 69. Saturday, partly sunny, with a high near 85. That's a look at your weather around the region. We're here from our student reporters and our student roundtable to get their thoughts on canceled homecoming events. You're listening to the number one streaming station in Baltimore, WEAA 88.9 FM. The voice of the community. We'll be right back.
WEAA 88.9 FM, and thanks for joining us. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is facing a second day of tough congressional questions about the Biden administration's much-criticized withdrawal from Afghanistan. Testifying before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on Tuesday, Blinken sought to ease bipartisan lawmakers' anger over the operation that resulted in the complete takeover by the Taliban and has left many American citizens, green card holders, and at-risk Afghans stranded in the country. The top two members of the committee, New Jersey Democrat Bob Menendez and Idaho Republican James Risch, both assailed the withdrawals as a failure in their opening remarks.
Student reporter Gabriel Ortiz was able to speak with a retired general. Was able to speak with retired General Linda Singh. General Singh served in Afghanistan and led the state of Maryland's National Guard. General Singh spoke about serving in Afghanistan and her thoughts on the troop pullout in that region.
Joined here by retired Army National Guard General Linda Singh. So, General Singh, obviously a lot of stuff is going on, a lot of things that are pertinent in the world related to your service and your time in the United States military. So, as we get started here, could you just tell me a little bit about your service in the military and then more specifically your role in Afghanistan?
Absolutely. I served 38 plus years in the Army. That spanned the Army National Guard and the Army Reserve. I retired as a Major General, and having led the Army National Guard, really the National Guard for the state of Maryland, so that's Army and Air, and in Afghanistan. So I was deployed to Afghanistan in 2011 and returned in 2012. My role was the Director of Current Operations for the Afghan National Security Forces. And what that meant is that, you know, my team coordinated all of the training status as well as the deployment of the Afghan National Forces on the Army side, and then on the generation of military police forces for the Afghans. And so we tracked it from the time that they, you know, entered in as students to the time that they were actually deployed out to their unit of assignment.
And how many years were you spending in Afghanistan?
We were there less than a year. So our deployment was about 11 months. And so when you look at our complete rotation, one of the things that we were focused with even then was, you know, how do we start reducing our military footprint? So, you know, when you think about the withdrawal of Afghanistan, it really started way back, you know, to that point in time where we were always looking at eventually, you know, rotating out of Afghanistan. But I think that the challenge is that, you know, at what point in time is a good point for us to really withdraw?
Yeah, so that's going to lead into my next question here. Given all that you did there, and all the work that you and your many teams that I'm sure you worked with in Afghanistan, right, how does it feel all these years later to now finally see President Biden begin the pull out of all the troops there? For you personally.
For me personally, it's bittersweet, right? I mean, you would think that, you know, there was still more work to be done, but I also realized that as a senior leader, we can't stay in a country forever. I mean, that's not our intent. That's not really how we're designed. And so we have to get to a point to turn it back over to the local forces. I think the challenge with Afghanistan and understanding, you know, you really have to understand the history and the hundreds of years of fighting that has actually gone on and, you know, the different change in terms of control. And so knowing that, you know, the decision to withdraw was not an easy one. You know, could there have been a better way to do the withdrawal? Maybe. You know, would we still have seen loss of life? I think we would have, no matter how we tried to do it. I mean, there could have been a better, more, a better way to do it. But I think if we would have planned it differently, it would have taken longer to withdraw, which means it puts our troops even at more risk. And so, you know, I would have to say I'm glad that it was somebody else having to make the decision and not me, because it's not an easy one to make.
Most certainly not. And so, like you said, it's a very tricky situation, because if you take all the time in the world to figure out how you're going to do this the right way, then you just get stuck in this endless war that we've been in for the last 20-odd years. Right. And then if you go through it quickly, then you're going to have things that arise that happen too quickly for you to react, you know, maybe appropriately or in a safe manner. So right now, with all those things being said, Secretary Blinken is meeting before Congress talking about the awful suicide bombing that happened, 13 U.S. soldiers killed and dozens more injured of Afghanistan citizens. What are your thoughts on these hearings? Do you think that there should be any hearings, this one that's going on in the first place? How do you feel about how Congress is handling the fallout from these attacks?
Well, I mean, you know, Congress has a job to do, right? They have a job to be able to understand, and I think that's part of it, is they want to understand, you know, what happened and what potentially went wrong. I mean, could we have done something better? What I would like to see come out of this is, how does it change our perception? How does it change our handling of these situations that requires us to have long-term troop presence? And I don't think that we really deal with that in a way that makes sense. So how do we get ourselves in a better situation and position to be able to withdraw? And I don't want to say withdraw quickly, but to do it in a manner that lowers the risk. And I don't know that we typically spend enough time looking at that, right? So pulling in, you know, the right forces. And I think the challenge is that you're always going to have people to say, you know, well, it should have taken longer. Well, how much longer? And I think that's the challenge, is that, you know, we could have drugged this on for another 10 or 15 years, and that wouldn't have been sufficient either.
Coming up tomorrow, we will share General Singh's thoughts about September 11th. That's tomorrow on the Morgan News Hour.
Another record-breaking week for children being diagnosed with COVID, American Urban Radio Network's Ebony McMorris reports.
AURN News.
I'm Ebony McMorris. According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, in the past week, there have been over 243,000 cases of COVID in children. Now, that's the second highest number of child cases in a week since the pandemic began, and the numbers have increased exponentially. And while severe illness due to COVID is low, along with hospitalization and death, more needs to be done, they say, to collect data on long-term impacts of the pandemic on children physically and emotionally. Here's Dr. Anthony Fauci.
They are vulnerable. The way you protect the vulnerable is to surround them by people who are vaccinated, be they teachers, personnel in the school, students in the school who are old enough to get vaccinated.
There is hope that a vaccine for children under the age of 11 may be available by October. However, the AAP is concerned because the surge is coming as children are returning to school all across the country. For AURN News, I'm Ebony McMorris.
Amazon is hiring. Amazon is looking to offer an average starting wage of more than $18 per hour to fill some transportation and fulfillment roles, with some of the positions receiving up to $22.50 an hour. The wages are being offered so Amazon can try and fill an additional 125,000 local jobs throughout the U.S. on top of the 40,000 corporate and technology jobs it announced earlier this month. There is also a sign-on bonus of up to $3,000 available in certain locations.
The Ravens lose to the Raiders in their season opener. We'll have a live recap of last night's game. Make sure to download the WEAA app and take us with you 24 hours a day. You're listening to WEAA, the voice of the community.
Now let's take a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 72. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m. Sunny with a high near 90. Wednesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 2 a.m. Increasing clouds with a low around 69. Thursday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms all day, partly sunny with a high near 85. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 69. Friday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 81. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 69. Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 85. That's a look at your weather around the region.
As we mentioned earlier in the show, some Morgan State homecoming events were canceled today, like the parade in Tent City. We caught up with some Morgan State students to get their reaction.
That's one of the reasons why I came to a HBCU. So, like, this whole COVID thing in general is just, like, for what? Because it's like, y'all put in the rules in place, but y'all not enforcing them when it comes to everything. Only, you get what I'm saying? Like, certain stuff. So it's like, it just takes the fun out of everything.
The thing I was looking most forward to was just, you know, hanging with the people for real, hanging with the students. You know, it's our first time back on campus, and, you know.
I didn't really understand the reason why they said that they canceled it, because in 2019, you know, the tailgate, we did what we did, party, but then they had a meeting the next day at 6 a.m. and they didn't like the smell or how it looked on campus. But to me, not to, you know, of course that's unacceptable, but what was different from that year and every other year before? Because I could have sworn that's always how it is, and they usually have a cleanup the next day to clean up the campus. So I was a little heartbroken to hear about that.
Just to be clear, only some events from the homecoming were canceled, not the entire weekend. We caught up with a member of the campus activity board as well.
Homecoming activities are starting to be canceled because of the high demand of people. We want to still keep in mind to keep everybody safe. But also, I want everybody to keep in mind that all of the main events are not canceled. All of the events hosted by KEV are still going on. Be on the lookout for all of the flyers on Morgan State KEV's Instagram. That's at Morgan State KEV on Instagram. We are starting to drop our flyers day by day for events. The only two things that are canceled is the parade and Tent City. So everything else is still on accord. As far as the game is still happening, the concert is still happening, and any other events during the week is still happening.
And now we're joined by our student reporters for our student roundtable to get their thoughts on some events and the homecoming. So
we're joined by
Shania Butler and Kasha Hancock,
Rochelle Keaton.
And so, what are your guys' thoughts about homecoming? I know that's a big topic around campus.
Yes. Yeah, so I feel like, well, me personally, I'm pretty sure we're all excited about homecoming, you know, since we've been away from school. And last year it was completely virtual. And I know a lot of the times when things are virtual, it's hard to catch people's attention. So they tried to do a virtual homecoming last year, and it wasn't bad. It was, you know, it was fun, but it wasn't the same. So since we're now back on campus, everyone was looking forward to that in-person homecoming experience. And even though everything is not getting canceled, to hear that some things are getting canceled, it's kind of starting to worry me, only because I really was looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can agree. I can't imagine how things are going to turn out now that they don't have things such as, you know, the suites, you know, and the alumni events, because they are typically a big part of homecoming. So I'm really interested to see how everything turns out, because I just want to have fun. It's been so long since, you know, we've had homecoming. So
homecoming at Morgan State is iconic. Everybody comes out, alumni, strangers, everybody comes out to the concerts. So to hear that some events have been canceled, it's kind of heartbreaking, because everybody looks forward to homecoming. So
do you think that you know, with the rise in the virus, that, you know, other things might get canceled?
Looking at the rise in the virus, you know, I really hope not, but I do kind of feel like things will be canceled if the numbers continue to go up, only because I understand that they are trying to keep everyone safe. So they basically have to do what they have to do to keep everyone safe. So even though we don't want it to be canceled, I wouldn't be surprised if more things do get canceled.
Yeah, I agree. I would not be surprised if they start to cancel, you know, more events. Hopefully it doesn't get to the point where we have to cancel it as a whole, because like I said, a lot of people, especially these freshmen, they're very excited and they've been looking forward to their first homecoming. And, you know, a lot of them have said, this is the reason why I came to HBCU. So it really sucks that we can't really live up to their, you know, expectations. So it would be great if, you know, they don't.
Janai, did you?
Yeah, I think that I understand that they are trying to keep everybody safe. And I feel as though you have to do what you have to do. If the numbers are rising, then things will just have to be canceled.
And freshmen, well, not only just freshmen, but I feel like sophomores as well, they're looking forward to it because their whole first year of college was online. So this is basically, even though they're sophomores, this is kind of their freshman year because they've never been on campus before. So this is all still new to them.
Yeah, and I know a lot of them didn't even have prom, the sophomores, and graduation. So they're looking forward to a lot of great things.
No prom?
No, they didn't.
Because the pandemic had started and stuff like that.
High school graduation or prom.
And I know a lot of high schools, they have senior trip. Like, my high school, we went to Disney, like, all the seniors, and they canceled that. So it was just, like, devastating for them.
Wow. So I had a question. What's up with the Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, so the Chick-fil-A, people are upset about that because it's not open yet. And we thought when we got to school, it was going to be open because over the summer, we were hearing so many things about it. And it's just people feel like, you know, they had a lot of time to have the Chick-fil-A be open by now. And it's supposed to be in the spot that Auntie Anne's was in, the pretzel place. Yeah, and hopefully... you know, it's like a full-fledged Chick-fil-A, milkshakes, and all of that.
Hopefully, yeah, because I was tired of just getting the chicken sandwiches and the fries. The
lemonade.
The options were getting very slim, so hopefully, yeah, I agree. But I didn't, what was the conversation? I didn't hear anything about.
It's just not open yet.
Yeah, they're rebranding. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make it bigger. But yeah, hopefully they do have more food because they didn't have the chicken tenders, the nuggets. Yeah.
The chicken tenders are the best part, but I'm sorry to just be giving my input.
That's why you're here.
But I also heard from somebody, I don't remember who, but they were like that they're moving it because, you know, people would, you know, so easily just take, you know, the food because it would just, you know.
I think I've heard that too.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's it? Like really packed during lunchtime, so it's easy to just like take something and like, get in your bag and just like, walk out. Mm-hmm. And there's only like,
Two lines.
I can't deal with that line there. I couldn't deal with the line at a general one.
Randy's just never getting Chick-fil-A. He can't stand in no line. Okay. So the Met Gala was last night. I don't know if you guys streamed it or it's either streamed or you see the outfits on Twitter. How did you guys?
Well, I must say, I watched the whole red carpet show because in high school, I took this fashion marketing class for 2 years, so I'm just so into, you know, stuff like that. But it was really interesting to see what a lot of the stars came up with for the theme. What was it? This is America?
American Lexicon.
Yeah, so it was very interesting to see what, you know, the stars came up with. I was expecting a little bit more America. I think, what was her name? Iman? She was the only, like... Mm-hmm. One that really stood out to me because, you know, she had I think it was Indian theme. So,
Then
I saw a NASCAR dress. I don't know. They could have done better, but it was great to see everyone out again.
Yeah, I didn't actually stream it, but, you know, like on social media, I saw a lot of the outfits and the outfits were very interesting. I think that a lot of them were nice. I think Chloe and Holly had really nice outfits. Megan Fox had a really nice outfit. Kim Kardashian, her outfit was very interesting.
Wasn't her face covered up?
Her face was covered up. But, you know, I had a fun time, like, looking at the outfits and things like that.
Yeah,
so.
I saw them a lot on social media, too. The most memorable for me had to be Kim and Kanye.
Lil Nas, he had three outfits. That was interesting.
Yes.
It was like a gold suit, kind of.
I heard it was a reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, Rihanna had to make her grand late entrance. That's who everyone was waiting for, me. And, you know...
Is she pregnant?
I still think she's pregnant. I'm sorry. I'm not letting up on that. I don't care what the people say.
I mean, some of us are, you know, thinking that the coat dress thing was, you know, a cover up. So I don't know.
But they did have footage of her after party outfit. I couldn't really tell. I was trying to, examine and just.
You heard it here first.
You know?
Yeah, you did.
You know, but I can't really tell, but I don't know. I still think, you know, she's got a bun in the oven.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us on the Student Roundtable. Appreciate it. We are now joined by our own Ravens reporter, Cordell Woodland, to give his recap or takeaways from last night's Ravens game. I will say one thing, it was a very good game. Cordell?
Yeah, it definitely was. One that the Ravens are probably upset that got away. They started out up 14-0, and man, some costly turnovers from Lamar mixed with some pretty bad offensive line play out there. And you know, the Ravens defense, they're a risk it all type of team. So defensive coordinator Wink Martindale, he's not going to hesitate to send the house. And most times it works, and sometimes, like it did in overtime last night, it'll end up costing them the game.
And so, so what were some of the other takeaways that you had? I watched the game. I saw, you know, in terms of what do you think of Lamar's performance?
Well, I thought Lamar played pretty well. It was encouraging to see him look pretty good in a passing game. I mean, he was 19 for 30, over 200 yards and a touchdown. His two turnovers were fumbles lost. And, I mean, that's just what you have to live with sometimes when you have Lamar Jackson. I mean, he had over 80 yards rushing. Sometimes it gets to the point to where, and it showed last night, where Lamar has to do a lot for this offense. So it's definitely a high reward majority of times. But last night, Lamar knows he's got to take care of the football better. And he talked about that after the game. He's not going to shy away from that. But, yeah, the turnovers cost him, but the running game was still there. Second-year Tyson Williams, he kicked it off with a pretty big run for a touchdown early in the game for the Ravens' first score. So they didn't miss anything in the running game despite all the injuries at the running back position. And Sammy Watkins looked pretty good, and he's a key free agent wide receiver that they added to this offense this year. So everybody wanted to see a lot more from the passing game from the Ravens this season, and they addressed it in the offseason, and it showed a little bit last night. Defensive end Odafe Owe, one of the Ravens' first-round picks, he looked great last night. I think he's going to be everything that this team wants him to be. He's big, he's fast, he's strong, and he chases down quarterbacks. Unlike few that have played for this Ravens defense within the last couple of years outside of Terrell Suggs. So it's definitely some encouraging signs there, but they lost starting guard Tyree Phillips. He left on a stretcher. Injury issues continue to plague this team. Now they got a tough one coming up against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, what about that? Because just in terms of Lamar's accuracy, I noticed that he missed 5 throws in a row. That can't happen next week.
No, that's definitely not something that he's going to want to have happen next week. And it was a tough, I believe the fourth quarter was, the third quarter. 4 for 4 is what Lamar went for in the fourth quarter. So he did have a rough third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he had a stretch where he just couldn't get anything going. Both sides had a dry spell at one point in time. Sometimes that happens throughout the course of the game. But the offensive line was a big issue. For that, Lamar definitely missed some throws, and there's some throws he wanted to have back during that stretch. I think he began to get a little frustrated and get a little bit of happy feet. Again, I think that's in part to the offensive line. Alejandro Villanueva, that right tackle, I mean, that wasn't the debut he wanted to have.
I was going
to
say, he didn't look good. Yeah.
He didn't look good at all last night. And Yannick Ngakoue, he had a very good game for the Raiders last night, and I'm sure he wanted to, considering he was here in Baltimore last year and didn't have the season he hoped to have when he got here. So between him and Max Crosby, they were living back there with Lamar, and Lamar never really got comfortable back there. But, hey, he is Lamar Jackson, and he still managed to make plays.
All right, Cordell, so we'll catch up to you. Thank you. We'll catch up to you on Friday as you give us the preview for Sunday's game against the Chiefs. Appreciate it.
Sounds good, Randy. Appreciate it.
Yep. You're listening to the number one streaming station in Baltimore, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We'll be right back. Now Now let's take a look at your weather around the region. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 72. Wednesday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m. Sunny with a high near 90. Wednesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 2 a.m. Increasing clouds with a low around 69. Thursday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms all day, partly sunny with a high near 85. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 69. Friday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 81. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 69. Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 85. That's a look at your weather around the region. Here's a recap of the top stories for the Morgan News Hour. Some homecoming activities were canceled by Morgan State. We heard from the Campus Activity Board and shared student reaction. We also heard from Major General Linda Singh about her experience and the time spent in Afghanistan. She gave us her thoughts on the troop pullout and her role while in Afghanistan. And now we'll head over to live sports with Andre and Kendra.
Hey, thank you, Randy, for that. Appreciate you. Kendra, how you feeling out there?
I'm feeling good. How are you guys feeling?
I'm so good.
Great.
Randy's great. I'm not so good. My Baltimore Ravens, we took that L yesterday. Randy just rubbing his hands like Birdman over there. Like, sound like you got a lot to say, man.
It was actually a very good game. I stayed up to watch till the very end.
Just when you thought it was over.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good game. I know the NFL is very happy right now. They had a great open and then a great way to close their weekend, opening weekend. So hats off to the NFL for knowing how to put these games together and give us the best matchups to get us excited for the regular season. Well, what were your takeaways from yesterday's game, Kendra?
It was a little sloppy at the end. Like, you thought it was over, but then it was an offensive penalty, which pushed him back, and Derek Carr threw a pick in the end zone.
Yeah.
And then you get the ball back. But then, first of all, I thought Mark Andrews, I thought that was a fumble. What did you think about that?
I was disappointed in Mark Andrews overall because I just thought that I would have seen more out of him. I mean, there was a point in the game when I'm like, where is Mark Andrews even, like, suited up?
Is he the one who got the big contract?
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
That's how he deals. When things get tight, he can know where to be found. I just feel like that.
Well, what was your takeaway, Randy? Because you just like chomping at the bits, like you ready?
No, I took some notes.
Look, ladies and gentlemen, for the listening audience out there, Randy came to work today, like he like as if I had like owed him money, like he was just ready for me.
I know I had taken some notes during the game just so I can remember what was going on, and you know one of the things I did notice was. I didn't think that what's the tackle or guard Villanueva?
Yeah,
played that well.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, and then was it Max Crosby from the Raiders? He was like all over the place.
He was insane.
Yeah, I mean, just the whole game, and as I mentioned before previously, Lamar throwing and. I mean, he had, five misses in a row? It looked like he was just coming up short on some of the passes. But, you know, he's back there running for his life. So,
you know, it was a fun fact. He actually had a higher passer rating than Derek Carr.
Really?
Yes.
Despite all the fumbles.
Despite all the fumbles and everything. Mm-hmm. And with the rushing, he still had a higher passer rating.
I will tell you, during the game, it didn't feel like the Ravens were winning because it was 14-0 for a while. But it was just like out of nowhere, Raiders just started coming back.
I think some of that is due to injuries, which is why I didn't see the Ravens winning this game. I thought it was just opening night for the Las Vegas Raiders. I thought it was primetime game, Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. You're on the road, different time change. So I just thought it was a lot of factors into why the Ravens would lose this particular game. I didn't see Fuller being the second coming of Shannon Sharpe out there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that part of it. But also, I just think that the Ravens also had too many injuries to overcome. I think if Peters and Jimmy Smith, I think if they were both out there, it would have made a lot of a difference in that secondary in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the Ravens actually were doing a good job offensively running the football. But I think that one of their downfalls was that they just relied on Lamar Jackson too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was just kind of like, give Lamar the ball here. And that's when some of the mistakes were happening. But the Ravens, I think, did have a good game plan because the Raiders were making a lot of mistakes. They were very sloppy to start the football game. And I think the Ravens should have just did a better job to just close the game out as opposed to letting the Raiders hang in there.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I noticed in the second quarter, they were blitzing a lot. The Ravens were blitzing a lot, you know, with their DBs and leaving the DBs on an island to go one-on-one, and Carr was just eating them up. Yeah.
So. Definitely. Just like the last play, I was like, wow, this is chilling the deal. They just left them wide open.
That was my note.
They were just blitzing so hard.
Yeah, right. And I was like, how did he get so wide open?
Well,
I mean, go ahead.
One of the things the Ravens do is they do like to blitz a lot. Their defensive coordinator, he prefers to blitz. So you'll see the Ravens do a lot of blitzing. And I think that sometimes that can cost them because, like you said, it leaves the field open for some guys. And you're just scratching your head like, how is this guy that mm-hmm. wide open?
Right.
So the blitz can be a good thing, but it can also be a detriment to you as well. And as we saw last night, it cost them in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they got a tall task ahead because they still have the Kansas City Chiefs, so I don't know if it's looking too good for Ravens Nation right now.
So with these guys that are on the practice squad, all the running backs, that they could probably come up now?
A little more time. I think that maybe like Le'Veon Bell might, because mm-hmm. he looked like he was ready.
Right.
So at least if not next game, actually, you know what? I could see him coming up next game because he would probably want some revenge on the Chiefs.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I didn't think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I know they can need that. That's a tough game.
So what are your thoughts on that game, Kendra?
It's just really tough. Like, the Chiefs, like, I don't know. Like, with all the problems that the Ravens have, I feel like Judon is an okay corner. He's cool, but I feel like Marcus Peters was a shutdown corner. So without him, who's going to be on Tariq Hill? And then you also got Travis Kelce.
Right.
Exactly. So it's tough. Like I said, that secondary, it's not looking real good. But speaking of, we're keeping it in the NFL. The Saints have at least 6 cases of positive corona cases right now with their assistants.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And they were doing good. That game was okay, y'all. Got to Aaron Rodgers, and they got this going on.
Yeah, that's craziness for that to happen.
At least they're coaches. They're not players, you know, which can, I mean, but still, the players could get it. But because if too many players get it, do they have to forfeit? I can't remember what the number is.
They may have to forfeit a game.
Right.
If it's too many cases. So we'll keep an eye out for this story, as we'll also keep an eye out for this closing story that Jay-Z and Jeff Bezos are in a battle to purchase the Denver Broncos.
Really?
Yes. But the issue is Jay-Z is valued at $1.4 billion, and they're saying that they're estimating that the franchise will be worth $4 billion.
Ooh.
But this won't happen until 2022.
He's a fine
score. Well, otherwise, he's going to have to get somebody else.
Right.
Yeah.
He'll buy the team with him.
Yeah, he's going to have the partner.
I think it can happen. You said Derek Jeter.
Oh, it's kind of what Derek Jeter did with the Marlins.
Yeah. I mean, I think he could do it because, I mean, Diddy at one point, he was trying to purchase the Carolina Panthers. So, my fingers are crossed, but also Jeff Bezos, he was trying to own some stake in the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
So, he does have a background with trying to attempt to own a team. And of course, his money's a little longer than Jay-Z.
I was going to say, Bezos could just pull out the checkbook and just write it.
You know? I mean, anytime you can just go to space, you're right.
Right, you know?
So this will be another story to keep an eye out for, because this will not happen until 2022. But the reason behind this is because of the former owner, Pat Bowlen. Mm-hmm. Once he passed in 2019, the team kind of got split up amongst his daughters, and they don't know really what to do with the franchise right now.
It's not a bad come up. You get $4 billion to split between them.
It's not. But especially a team like the Denver Broncos, I mean, right. Can't go wrong with buying that franchise. So,
well, yeah, I just can't picture Jay-Z owning the Broncos. Maybe the Giants or the Jets, but the Broncos.
I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
All right, now on to entertainment in Hollywood with Demi.
Thanks, Dre. Thanks, Kendra. So here's what's trending in your entertainment. Streaming platform Netflix has released a trailer for its limited series about Colin Kaepernick. We're keeping it all in the NFL family here. So Colin in Black and White is a 6-part biographical drama co-created by Kaepernick and director Ava DuVernay, following the early years of the NFL quarterback and activist. The coming-of-age series stars Jaden Michael as a young Colin, while Kaepernick appears as a narrator. And according to Netflix, Kaepernick will guide viewers through an array of historical and contemporary moments tackling the obstacles of race, class, and culture as the Black adopted child of a white family. Kaepernick says he is looking forward to the world meeting the incredible Jaden Michael, who will play him during his high school years, just a kid growing up in Turlock, California, who wanted to play ball. The 6-part docuseries Colin in Black and White premieres October 29th. Now, there have been a lot of things swirling on social media, and especially about the COVID-19 and the vaccine. And rapper Nicki Minaj had spread some misinformation about the vaccine. And basically, she was tweeting about why she decided that she didn't want to attend the Met Gala, which was last night. And we talked about this in our student roundtable, and I mentioned it last night. She said that she didn't want to go because the Met Gala had required that all attendees had to be vaccinated. And she said that she was not going to get the vaccine just to go to the Met Gala, that she was still doing her research. But last night she spread like all these misinformations about it, basically saying that her cousin and Trinidad's friend had gotten the vaccine. And then now, you know, something about his private area is becoming swollen, and now he's impotent.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be getting married, mm-hmm. and the wife called off the wedding because, you know, he's now infertile. And so some people clapped back at her, mm-hmm. like fans and other people alike, and they were like, no, your cousin's friend may have, you know, some other health conditions going on, to where as though now he's impotent. And they were also telling, you know, basically, it went all the way to MSNBC. Joy Reid.
Right, yeah. She tried to come for Joy Reid.
Yeah, for the readout, because Joy Reid had said, "Hey, Nicki, like, I'm a fan of yours, mm-hmm. and I don't think that it's good that you're telling your 22 mm-hmm. million followers that the vaccine, you know, that you're spreading this misinformation about the vaccine." And so Nicki then tweeted about Joy Reid, and she called her Uncle Tommyana.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically said that she was performing for the white man.
Mm-hmm.
And then another celebrity, I believe an actress, had came to the defense of Joy Reid and said, no, like, you know, like, sis, you're spreading the wrong information. And then later on in the night, Nicki Minaj then, you know, put up a poll and, you know, was asking her fans, I guess she had to change her heart. So she started asking her fans, like, which vaccine she should get.
The record label got to her.
possibly the record label as well. But then she also revealed that the reason why she didn't go to the VMAs, and the VMAs was Sunday night. Mm-hmm. She said she didn't go because she had actually gotten COVID. So all while she's spreading misinformation, she had already gotten COVID and she's already experienced the worst of the symptoms. Mm-hmm. And she was just saying, well, how do you feel that you can't hold your little baby for an entire week and all he knows is his mommy? Mm-hmm. And it's that right there that, like, you've had COVID, so you should be looking into getting the vaccine and without spreading the misinformation. Mm-hmm. Or to say that, oh, I don't have enough information about it for myself, I'm still doing research. It was like, well, what kind of research are you doing?
Right. And, yeah. You know, sometimes with these celebrities, they take their audience and... you know, the influence that they think they may have, mm-hmm. a little too far.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's a little harming and damaging to their audience and to the people that they influence. Because then, you know, you have those same people, like we've talked about this before, that, you know, they don't know that they've been inoculated, mm-hmm. that they've been vaccinated right. before. Mm-hmm. But this is because this is new to them and this is something that is in their face, they're like, oh, I got to do more research. Right. It's like, you've already had chickenpox. You already had a shot for the measles. Like, what research do you need to do for any of these things?
Right.
You know?
Yep. So.
So that is what was happening in your entertainment. I think it's just... I think celebrities just need to stand down when it comes to particular things unless they really know what they're talking right. about and not spreading rumors like hearsay, like my cousin best friend said. That's when you get in trouble.
All right. I agree with you on that one. So, we want to thank you all for joining us here on the Morgan News Hour this evening. I'm Randy Reed.
I'm Demi Goff. And have a good night. Be safe.
Our production tonight was brought to you by the students in the School of Global Journalism and Communication right here at Morgan State University, in our learning lab here at the studios of WEAA 88.9 FM, led by Dean Jacqueline Jones and Station Manager Robert Shahid. Thank you to our student reporters, Devontae Berry, Kaisha Hancock, Chardonnay Jackson, Jasmine Johnson, Rochelle Keaton, David Lance, Gabriel Ortiz, Kendra Pugh, Carol Williams, and an extra special thanks to Andre Melton for operating the board tonight.